Tonight we have represented Spain and also the island of Hawaii. From time to time there are opportunities for work tours to go to hardship postings like Hawaii. Sometimes other places as well. We don't always have word of these opportunities as often, as soon as we would like. We're going to try and see if we can't do better about that, there may be opportunities to come to go on a work tour, as has been true in the past, to Brazil, to Ecuador, and to other places. And when you have that opportunity, I don't think you'll ever be the same again if it's your first time that you have the opportunity to take part in one. And this past winter, Irma and her daughter had the opportunity of going to Hawaii, and she'll tell you all about it just now in the next 10 minutes. Irma?
Aloha from the land, beautiful island of Oahu. I am not a public speaker, but I'm known to be a talker, so that's a difference, you know. For a number of years now, I wanted to do some volunteer work and missionary work. So when this project was in our bulletin, I immediately started to work on it. Pastor Thurton was so cooperative and helping arrange this through Harvey Fretz and then through Fort Wayne. My daughter Carol and I volunteered for the Missionary Church Volunteer Service and Program in the latter part of September, and we were booked for March the 16th to the 30th. The project was to build a church in the town of Mililani, and the volunteer service were sending 13 teams consisting of 12 to 15 people with various skills and abilities. We were unable to be on the Canadian team as it filled up very quickly. There was only one team. So we were booked to work with Team 12 and with the Fort Wayne team. We were told we would be helping construction, the contractor, Jean Cherry, or his wife, with the cooking. But the first Monday, March the 18th, we found there was 8 women to cook and a small kitchen. So we were assigned along with 2 other ladies to go and work at the work site about 3 miles away with the men. Now if you know me, cooking's fine, but you get 8 women and they get it all finished in a little while, and what do? They sit around and wait till the next meal. I can't stand it. I like being busy. So we were busy at the church. We liked it better that way, to keep busy. We cleaned up after the men, washed floors and windows. And, we always have to work at clean up after the men, too, clean sawdust and whatnot, look after tools and so on. Carol had talked to a young man from Listowel who had been down there in early December, and he told her how muddy it was and not to wear anything white, and white shoes would be ruined. The dirt is brick red, and when you're wet and sticks like gum, and we found out it did. I didn't really take clothes along to work in the, I only took clothes along to work in the kitchen. So I had to go out to the Goodwill to buy some clothes to work on the, I took light clothes to work in the kitchen. However, Goodwill is a good place. I didn't have the Karen Sharon nearby, so. The people of Mililani Missionary Church had been meeting at a recreation center 1 for over 10 years, with the inconvenience of setting up every Sunday, meeting in closets and kitchens and so on. And they were so grateful of the help they were receiving to build their church. They had rented an empty house for a contractor and his wife and to live in, and then 3 bedrooms for couples to stay. And also a base, that was also a base for the workers to meet for the evening meal. This house was about 3 miles from the work site. A van was also supplied for transporting workers and also a number of cars people supplied of the parishioners. They just donated their cars. And 2 couples were assigned with parishioners about 25 miles away, and they had to come in every day to the work site 25 to 30 miles. Carol and I felt we were really fortunate as we were assigned to live in a fairly new home with a young Japanese couple and their three-year-old daughter. I must tell you, though, when we go in these homes, you have to take your shoes off. And I mean, because they just don't have, you don't wear shoes. Even in the church, when we worked in the church, you had to take your shoes off. We had the use of the whole upstairs with separate bedrooms for each of us and a large, lovely, big bathroom. We ate our breakfast in their home after they'd gone to work and then just walked around the corner to the house and the van was waiting for us. We were up every morning by 6 o'clock and off to work at 7:15, and we worked until 5, so we really didn't work, you know. Lunch was brought to the site by the women at noon, and we all, sometimes there was 20 of us in number, we drove back to the base house and had supper in a time of fellowship and games together, or we went walking. The weather wasn't very cooperative, as we had a lot of rain, the same as we've had here, and that's very unusual down there. It made the soil, as I said, very gummy around the church and also made for more cleaning. Most of the time, the men took their shoes off, or boots, I should say, and worked in their sock feet. And lots of times I was going around my bare feet until they got me a pair of thongs. And I got kind of tough soles. The men did that so they wouldn't track in the red soil. And then, as I said, you remove your shoes in the homes too. In fact, the first week we had a terrible rainstorm and flood conditions on the Wednesday, similar to our Hurricane Hazel, if some of you remember that, of 1954, and roads were closed because of landslides. An 11-year-old boy was washed down the sewers, and they didn't find him till the next day. And they estimated the damage to be $7 million, and that was quite close to where we were. And we saw a lot of the damage, houses all washed down the river. Due to the rain, I stayed at the house the next day and mopped up water in the screen porch. And Carol and two of the other ladies went to the church site. Carol helped one of the men lay floor tiles in three Sunday school rooms. That was her first time doing that, but she got along pretty good. We didn't have to work every day, as some days there was only jobs for men painting outside and helping with cementing the parking lot. They cement the parking lots rather than pave like we do because they don't have the frost. But it was so gummy and wet that they were held back because of that. The church was fairly well built when we arrived, and George Ritter from St. Jacob's was doing all the plumbing. Maybe some of you know him. Their church was built with a sanctuary which would seat about 250 with an overflow for about 100. A large fellowship hall and kitchen and pastor's study and conference room and a good number of Sunday school rooms. The outside of the church was white stucco and the wood trim painted a pretty Wedgwood blue. As I said before, we did not have work for every full day, so we went shopping. That's a woman's good thing, eh? Got to one of the big malls, Alimony, and one day went to the big swap meet near Pearl Harbor. That's similar to our flea market, but a much larger scale and all its tents they put up. First day we went there on a Wednesday, it was this teeming rain and they were taking the tents down, so we didn't stay, so we went another day. We only stayed for about 2 hours and we only took in about a third of it. And this is where I bought my muumuu. And a number of ladies bought at least 5 of them. I don't know what they're going to do with them, but I could only afford one. And the lei and my flower. I had to have it all, and my earrings, all to match, you know. We also went as a group one evening to a luau. Some of you probably know what that is, which is a big entertainment where they roast a whole pig in a sand pit. And we ate Hawaiian food. The first Sunday we were at the church, they had each member of our group come forward and presented us with a souvenir hat. I gotta show you this hat too. My goodness, this is our souvenir hat with Milani Church on it. And let me see. and presented us with a souvenir hat and a booklet, maps of the area and another lay. Some lady had crocheted this lay and had scripture verses on it. Hung that around her neck, so I'll put that one on too. And then the next Sunday, they had us go forward again and presented each team member with a t-shirt. We knew we were going to get X because they'd asked us the size we take. And of course, I take large, so that's the middle of any church on it. There. Got my two-page turned over. And another lay, and two boxes of macadamia chocolates. I didn't bring them to show you. Not everybody want to eat them. I didn't have enough to go around, for one thing. The people were very gracious to us and treated us royally. Tuesday, March the 19th, it was raining again, and we were told there was not enough work for all of us, so eight of us went in the van to see the bombing place of Pearl Harbor and were taken out by boat to the memorial built over the bomb battleship Arizona. Now, I'm a Canadian. I really hadn't heard too much about the Arizona, but the other late people that were with us were from the States, and of course, they kept talking about the Arizona. Carol and I just kept quiet, and we found out what it was. And it was this memorial was built above the about 4 feet above the Arizona, and there were 1,500 men lost their lives there, and they say they are still in there. They were just desecrated, blown up. Because of the damp weather and change of climate, Carol and I had terrible colds, but we kept working. We went swimming a number of times. The waves were very high, and a lot of surfboarders, and we even tried our hand at lying on a surfboard and riding the waves. I'm game to try anything, you know. One lady was very upset when she saw Grandma on the surfboard. I said, I'm not only a grandma, I'm a great-grandma, but I can swim. She was afraid that it would upset me or something, but I managed. We spent Good Friday in Waikiki, sightseeing and swimming and lying on the beach. Beach was very crowded. That was a very warm day, one of the warmest days we had. Didn't get much tan because, well, of course, I only get freckles, but anyway. It was so much rain, and as I said, the beach was very crowded. It was just people to people, and it's a big tourist attraction. We talked to a local Hawaiian, and he was quite upset that the land had been bought by Japanese, and the prices were very high, and beach was so crowded, and there's condominiums all over, and they're very expensive. We ate lots of fresh pineapple and saw many pineapple fields. Now, I thought pineapples grew on trees. I got a surprise. They don't grow like that. And we toured the Dole Scenic Court. The factory wasn't running because the pineapples weren't ready. The Saturday we left, they were to put the carpeting down in the sanctuary, and we're planning on having their Easter sunrise service there. We would love to have stayed and worked with them, and worshiped with them, I should say. Now, somebody asked me if I'd go again. My answer is yes, and I'd like to when they have one. They're building or renovating another church on another island, Kauai, in January 1992, and Carol and I are hoping next year. We flew home via Calgary with four other Canadians, Bob and Carol Shantz from North Bay, and George and Ruth Ritter from St. Jacobs. Probably some of you know them. It was a wonderful, busy time, and my prayer is that God will bless that congregation of people and bless them really good. Thank you for the opportunity of going.
Anything, because we've been looking forward to having, well, not too long. We didn't know that you were coming for very much time, but we're going to give the rest of the time over to Roland as he shares with us just whatever the Lord has laid upon his heart from the Word or from Spain. The Lord bless you as you speak to us.
Thank you very much. Good evening. Let me say, first of all, that I thoroughly enjoyed the report from Hawaii, and it reminded me once again that when I get back to Spain after 3 weeks in the U.S. and Canada, my wife is going to ask me all sorts of questions I'm not going to know the answers to, because women see things from a different point of view than men do. And I never think to ask the kind of questions that she's interested in knowing the answers to, and I'm going to be in trouble again. Spain is a great place to be. It's a great place to work. We've fallen in love with it. We love the people. We love the culture. And yet it's considered a very difficult place for missionaries. Spain has a long religious heritage of Catholicism, and I don't in any way want to offend anyone who may be Catholic or from a Catholic background this evening, but I'd like to explain a little bit about the spiritual condition of Spain today. When the Reformation came to Europe, Spain did not permit it to prosper, and it was quickly eradicated. Thus continuing the same religious tradition through the centuries. In more recent history, Spain underwent a dictatorship from the close of its civil war in 1939 until the death of the dictator in 1975. During this time, religion was tightly controlled as well as every other facet of life. Spain was considered to be the most Catholic country in Europe and possibly in the world. But when the dictator died and when the political situation changed as a result of a new constitution, people began to feel free to behave in the way that they would have behaved if they hadn't been forced to behave in another way. Consequently, the religious practice of the Spaniards has quickly gone downhill. And now less than 15% of the people attend Mass weekly. 85% are on the outside and not paying a great deal of attention to what goes on the inside. 30% of the people, according to a Gallup poll, never, ever go to church. And the other 55% basically go for the family occasions, baptism of a child, a first communion, wedding, this sort of thing, and then you won't find them in church. I find these statistics borne out by the talking to people, and very few of them are what they call practicing Catholics. What have they turned to? They haven't turned to anything. They've turned away from the practice of religion. Now, many of the young people growing up view religion, and to them, religion is Catholicism. That's all they've known. The other non-Catholic religions in Spain don't even amount to 1% of the population when they're all grouped together. So basically, what people have known is Catholicism. That is religion. That is Christianity. And the young people are saying, I don't want anything to do with that. That belongs to the past, old buildings, old music, old superstitions. It's not for us. It's not for today. We have established ourselves in Valencia, which is a city on the Mediterranean coast. We are not right in the city. We're in a town outside of the city of Valencia, in the province of Valencia. And this is where we, as the missionary church, have decided to work in Spain. It's fairly typical of the rest of Spain. And the towns where we have chosen to work, no one else is working. There are no Baptist churches and no Nazarene churches and no United churches and no Protestant churches of any kind in these towns. In fact, in this one province, we have over 20 towns that have 10,000 or more population with no evangelical churches in them at all. And we have chosen to go in there to begin to witness to the life that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. How to go about it among a people who aren't looking for or toward any kind of religious practice is a question that we have wrestled with and we still wrestle with, and we are looking for the best solution. But as we talked with people, who have been there longer than us, and as we talk to Spanish people, both Christians and non-believers, we have come up with what we believe is the correct strategy for these people. And we base it on a passage in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. You probably know it by heart. Around the 14th verse, it says, "The Word, Christ, was made flesh," right? "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And as a result of that, we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." How did this knowledge of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth, come about? As Christ became flesh and dwelt among the people. What we want to do is make or help people to see Christ. How are they going to see Christ? The message, the Word in flesh. In this case, our flesh. So that they in us can see the glory of God. The song that the pastor sang fits in beautifully, doesn't it? May Christ be seen in me. It's exactly what we are trying to do in Spain. If we go with another doctrine, not interested. One man said to me, "Well," he said, "all churches are alike." He said, "Some believe in the Virgin and some don't believe in the Virgin, but they're all the same." He said, "I don't want anything to do with it." I began studying Valenciano language when I moved to Valencia. They all speak Spanish there, but the natives of the area also speak what they call Valenciano, which is a form of Catalan. And my teacher was a young woman, 28 years old, and we had lots of opportunity to talk about religious beliefs and practice. There weren't too many in the class. It was kind of informal. One day she told me, "Well," she said, "I was brought up in the Catholic schools like most everyone else here. And we went to Mass every day and I hated it. And I decided when I got out of school, I would never go back to church. And I haven't. And I'm so glad the church can't tell me what I can or can't do any longer." And I've talked to many people who have this same antipathy toward religion. So we can't go with teaching a religion. They're not interested. Another man told me this. He said, "Well," when I told him what we were there for, he said, "You know what people are going to tell you? They're going to say, if I already have a religion and I don't practice it, what would I want with another one?" Right, right. So I said, "Well, if they can't see anything in me that makes them wonder and want to know about and desire what I have, then I don't care if they don't listen to me. But on the other hand, if they see something in me that they don't have, then they're going to listen to what I have to say." And I find this to be true. We haven't seen any conversions yet, but we have people in the process. How do we get close to people? This is the thing. Now, he was in the world. He took on flesh. He dwelt among the people, and they saw his glory. All right, we have gone to the town of Godella, but that alone is not enough for people to see the glory of God in us. We've got to get close enough to them, intermingled in their lives, for them to notice that there is something different about us. And this is the trick, right? All of you living here have relatives and you have friends and you have acquaintances at work or whatever. We went into this town and we didn't know one single person in the town. They didn't know us. How are we going to get close to these people so they can find out about what makes us tick? We began by joining anything that we could join that was joinable. And some ideas we had, there is a neighborhood organization which is very typical and cultural for Valencia. We thought, well, I'll join that. They didn't want new members. And then I thought, well, I have an amateur radio license and I will join the amateur radio club. They're always a friendly sort of people. They didn't want new members either. But I found open invitations to study in the adult school in the neighboring town. So I went over to Burjasot. I found they offered Valenciano class. I signed up for that. And I found there was a photography class. And I signed up for that. So I had two afternoons there in the school. And around December, they had some budget problems. The government wasn't very pleased with them, and they cut their budget, and they had to let some of their teachers go, including the English teacher. So I volunteered to take over the English classes for the rest of the school year if they wanted me, and they did. And so I got two more days there in the adult school, and I had the opportunity in that way to get to know not only the students but the staff in the school, and many, many opportunities to share my faith. Friendships were developing very nicely. Meanwhile, my wife started going to an exercise class at the town sports center. Now, I should tell you, she hates to exercise. But for the Lord, she said she would do it. And sometimes I had to encourage her. It was not going to rain that day. But she faithfully went and began to meet the ladies. And we live in apartment buildings. Now, even though we're in a town of a little under 10,000 people, everyone lives in apartment buildings, just about. So we were in an apartment building, and she wanted to get better acquainted with the ladies in our apartment building. So she was going to exercise class with one of them, and she said, you know, I have learned a way to paint. It's called toll painting. Any of you ladies know about toll painting? She said, I can teach you how to do this kind of painting. We don't know how to paint. We've never painted anything in our lives. That's all right, I'll teach you. So she got four ladies from the apartment building to come once a week and to learn to do toll painting. They loved it. They still love it. And they've been coming faithfully. They're at the point, we believe, of agreeing to study the Bible together. And this is a prayer request that I would leave with those of you who would like to help us pray. In fact, before we left on furlough, we were there about a year. This last term of service has been a little unusual because we began in the Dominican Republic and we had our first year and some there. Then we went to Barcelona where we were sent and we were a year and some there. And then we moved to Valencia and we were a year there, and then we had a year furlough. So that kind of broke it up. But just before we went on furlough, and my wife, Pat, had to tell her ladies that we were going to be gone for a year, and she didn't want to do this because it was difficult to say we were going away. But they were having their painting class, and she said, I have to tell you something. She said, we were going away for a year. And they put down their brushes, and they started to cry because they didn't want her to go. And then they had one more class after this, I guess. And all of a sudden, they started opening up with questions about death and about prayer. What do you believe? What happens when a person dies? Do you pray to the saints? And questions like this, they began to freely talk about. And Pat said, well, you know what I would like to do when we go back is get together in your apartment or mine, and we'll study the Bible together, and we'll look up the answers to these questions. We've been back 8 months now, and it hasn't come about. And so we believe we're meeting some resistance, not from the ladies, not from a church or people, but from principalities and powers. Every time she brings it up, something happens. And we're going to have to take hold and see something happen through prayer. When I came back, I wanted to pick right up where I had left off with the adult school in Burjasot. And you know what I found? The government had disbanded the school. They had sent all of the teachers to other centers, no two to the same center. Then they reinstituted the school, but they left out the English class that I was teaching, the Valenciano class that I was taking, and the photography class that I was taking. As I began to wonder where people were, I found some of them have moved, and they're no longer. I mean, the enemy did a number on us when we were gone. And we've had some opportunity to meet again with some of these people. I was invited, as the Lord had it. I can't take time to explain how it came about, but we did get invited to a supper of former teachers from this school who were no longer together. And we spent until 3 in the morning talking and had opportunities to share at a very personal, deep level with these people. One of my teachers saying that I don't believe man is any more spiritual than a lizard. And that was, you know, putting it bluntly. And then later on, as we went, after we finished our meal in the restaurant about midnight, we went to another sidewalk cafe to sit and talk and drink Cokes till 3 in the morning. And I met a young musician, a concert guitarist that I hadn't known before. And we began to talk, and he said he believes that there's only one power in the world, and that's love. And he thinks we are all gods. I thought, well, I've progressed considerably during this evening. I started out as a lizard and ended up as a god. But do you get the picture? This is the people, the young people of Spain. This is the way it is going. This is the future of Spain. And town after town after town, and the large cities, all these thousands and millions of people, Spain is 38, 39 million people, with no witness to show them, to tell them, to be the good news to them. This is what we're concerned about. And we have, as the missionary church, have chosen this one province with all of these towns where no one else is working to take as our goal to present Christ in these areas. I'd just like to give you a little encouraging word. On Easter, the Collins family, one of our missionary families, is working in a neighboring town, and they have a children's Bible club going. Three of the children have accepted Christ already. And ordinarily, you might expect that the parents would take them out and forbid them to return to this school, but in this case, they didn't. And the reason is they had already become friends of the parents. And they trust them, no problem. In fact, these parents have actually come closer to the Collins since the children's decision to follow Christ. And even though they haven't followed Christ themselves, they say, well, maybe I'm too old for that, but it's all right for my child. Well, they had an Easter egg hunt on Easter for these children. Nice Christian tradition, right? Well, they made it Christian by, when they dyed the eggs, they put a letter on each egg and a number. So when the children found the eggs and put them in order, numerical order, it spelled out, Christ is risen from the dead. And then they had a little service out in the park in front of their apartment building, and two teenage girls came and they stayed for the service. And then one of the mothers of the children came and she stayed for the service. It was the first time they had had adults come to their little Bible club there. That's an encouraging sign. We believe good things are going to happen in that town. Pat and I planned an Easter sunrise service for our staff because neither the Catholic churches nor the Protestant churches in Spain do much for Easter. It's kind of vacation time. Everybody get away, go to the mountains, go to the country, whatever, but don't get religious over it. And so we thought we'd have a little sunrise service and at least teach our missionary children what Easter is about. And the day before Easter, Pat and I were out in the country at the house of one of our neighbors, along with another couple from our apartment building and another couple that lived out in the area. And we were sharing together. We had our day together. We men went out and picked wild asparagus together. And I felt they made a real effort to get closer to me, and it was a good step forward. But about 7 o'clock, I said, I have to get back home because we have to get up early in the morning. Really? Why do you have to get up early tomorrow? It's Sunday. And I explained about why we have sunrise service. It's a tradition. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And one of the ladies, one of our neighbors, said, I want to go. Can my daughter and I come too? Well, we were planning on doing it in English, but I went home and I put up a Spanish song sheet with Easter songs and changed my message a little bit. And I wasn't sure she would come because she's late to everything. But at 6:20 in the morning, there she was at our door with her 15-year-old daughter, and wow, we were really encouraged. Something is happening, and we believe that when it begins, then we will begin to see the growth as networks of family and friends see the changed lives. We believe it's going to happen. One more word, and this particularly pertains to you folks here, because we have received word of a sizable gift toward a bookstore in Spain. This is something we've been planning for 4 years. And now we have enough money to begin. And we are very grateful for this gift. Why a bookstore? Well, in the first place, we had much experience in the Dominican Republic, 18 years involved in this. And our philosophy, you might have us pictured, you know, with a fortress for the Christians, a place for the Christians to come in and find a nice, decent book or something. But that's not our philosophy of Christian bookstores. We believe, first of all, it's an evangelistic arm, not just in the books that we get out. And we plan to blanket the province with Christian literature. There's very little seed sowing being done. We need to do more than just a one-to-one. Get the word out to a wider area. Okay, we will get non-believers into our bookstore. And in the Dominican Republic, more than half of our customers were non-believers. We get them in by selling office supplies, school books, greeting cards, photocopies, anything to get ordinary people in for ordinary business. But then when they get in the store, they realize something is different. And this is where we have the opportunity time after time to witness. We think this will be a valuable evangelistic tool. And our plans are to put it in one of the barrios of the capital where there is no existing evangelical work. Use this as a means of contact for a new church plant in a barrio where there is no evangelical work today. Then, of course, we do want to provide the churches in the area with tools they need for evangelism and growth. And finally, to help develop the leadership in the churches who don't have the opportunity to go away to Bible Institute or seminary. So we're looking forward to getting involved in this again, as well as our local situation there in Godella and Burjasot. I did get involved in another Valenciano class because this school was closed to me. I found one offered by the University of Valencia, and I am studying there. And an interesting thing about this class is that all the students in the class are teachers. To teach in Valencia, you have to be proficient in the Valencian language. And a lot of these teachers are not, and so they have to take this class in order to preserve their jobs. So I am studying with a group of about 25 teachers, and this gives me a new opportunity with a new group of people to share my faith. And we're looking forward to continuing this also. Our prayers are for the beginning of a Bible study in Godella. When the Nething family gets back in July, the same thing for Moncada. And then we are looking for 30 missionaries to come join us to go into these other towns all around the capital of the province to begin to be the Word of God in flesh to the people, not in the same way Christ is, of course, but Christ seen in us. Christ seen in us in each of these towns. We're thankful to have a Canadian family coming to join us in another year to a year and a half, the Blyervilles. We're really looking forward to that. We need another 20 to 25 couples. Is that our bosses at headquarters think that we're, you know, asking a bit much? I don't think so. I believe that God can move on the hearts of people to follow him, to go, to be, and to join us in this exciting work. And if God lays it on your heart, then follow right along. And we're looking for ways to use people that are not career missionaries but would like to help anyway. In fact, I've drawn up a paper which hasn't been approved yet, so I can't say come join us, but it's called Caleb's Crew, for those who are retired but are not tired. And we want to make a difference in Spain for Jesus Christ. These are lost people that God loves, and he wants them to come to him, and they don't have anybody to tell them. That's the whole picture. Thank you.